Ephesians chapter 1, the hope of his calling. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So earlier today, and very precisely, we looked at the calling of God. And we said the calling of God, you know, I said that the word calling is from the word kaleo in klesis, and you also have the word ecclesia, right? Do you remember that? Ecclesia, and we said that's what the church is for. So we said that the word calling has three functions. Remind me? The first one is we call out. When do we call out? When we preach, we're calling out. We're calling, no, call out off is what you're saying, my dear sister, right? Call out. Now, you know, and we said that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which I know, you should know, you must know, you shall know, you have to know, is not a material creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void. Tohu wabohu, which means without purpose, without function. Alright, disorder. It says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then it says, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Okay, so, which means that the Spirit of God moves into chaotic situations. And he does that in Genesis 1 and 2. In 3, and God said, let there be light, or proper Hebrew, light be. And that light cannot be the sun, moon, and stars, because the sun, moon, and stars came in later on. And it's also not electric power. So that light had to be God's light, divine light. It's very important to know that the first thing that God brings into disorder is light. The first thing you will always need is light, enlightenment. And the preaching of the gospel is light. It's light. The preaching of the gospel is light. John 8 and 12, when they brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery. And they came and said, Moses says, she stoned this woman. She said, he was committed no sin, she cast the first stone. Now, interestingly, for me, I know that that scenario looks like, oh, these guys are hypocrites. I agree, but I think they are holy hypocrites. I know people that will still cast their stones. Those guys were sincere enough to be truthful and not to cast a stone. I know people who condemn exactly what they do. And they are in a lot of minority, a majority. Brother Higgin once said this. This is not about Brother Higgin, but he said this. He said one time that he saw a man of God. And he said, if he knew you, he wouldn't have done that. And the Lord said, if you were in his situation, you would have done worse. And that's the plain truth about many of us. But that's not my sermon tonight. So you have Jesus, and he says, woman, where are your accusers? And the woman says, watch this very well. The woman says, they're all gone. Said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, people think go and sin no more means do not make a wrong. Now, if she could do that without the Holy Spirit, then Jesus came on a holiday. All right? Go and sin no more. Most of the time, we identify sin always as a moral failure. Sin is not just a moral failure. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, Paul says, whatever is not of faith is sin. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul, verse 11 and 12, Paul says that when you eat food offered to idols without considering your brother and not walking in love, he said you have sinned against Christ and the church. It's not always a moral failure. James says if you know that which is good, you don't do it, it's a sin. Fear is a sin. Anxiety is a sin. Looking at me and wondering what I'm saying itself is a sin. It's a sin. To laugh at coarse jokes is a sin. Yeah. To mislead people is a sin. It's not only moral failure that is a sin. Are you here? To dishonor believers, not just the leaders, to dishonor believers is a sin. To be selfish is a sin. Paul talks about those who don't wait for believers, and then they bring food to church and they eat it and leave the poor. He said that this is why some are sick, some are weak, and some even die. That's a sin.
So when he says, go and sin no more, don't think he meant go and don't commit adultery anymore. Of course, he wouldn't want her to commit adultery. But the real point was, who brought her to Jesus? She wasn't with Jesus. They had to bring her to Jesus. The only two people that Jesus said, sin no more, were two people who never came to him. The guy in John 5. He said the same thing to him. Why? He's at the pool. Jesus has a healing ministry in town. He's at the pool waiting for an angel to stir. So he says, go and sin no more. A worse thing will happen to you. Not a worse sickness. So which means the sin there is, he heard or she heard in not following him. That's why the next thing he says in verse 12 is, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Now sin means to go another way. Sin means to misstep, amatai, means to miss the mark. So sin in that context means she wasn't following Jesus. Let me see your hand before you understand that. I am the light of the world. It's the same thing like I am the savior of the world. So salvation is light. So when God says, let there be light, it's his light. He is his light. Psalm 127 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? 27 verse 1, sorry. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So Paul will use the same text because he teaches from the Old Testament. He'll say, if our gospel be heed, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on their hearts. Then he says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, all right, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The other one had the glory, the image of God. I missed it out. So you have Paul saying, calling light is equal to preaching. So when we preach, we call out. That's the first thing. Call out. So when someone, hold on guys, let me see this quickly. When someone comes to anyone and talks about Jesus, he is calling the person. There is a call. It's a call. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who he called out of darkness into to show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. No wonder Paul will say, to those in Corinth, called saints, called saints. So salvation, or let's say the preaching of the gospel, is God's call. That's the first one. Then we say the second one is you are called out of darkness, because God called the light out of where? Darkness. You are called out of the world. You came out of the world. Colossians 1:12. Thanks be to God, or giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light, who has delivered us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:12 and 13. So we're called out of. Now, the third one is what we are now called. What we are now called. Pay attention. God calls light. The first thing he does, Genesis 1:3. Then he separated the light from the darkness. Are you here? That is salvation. He calls the light from the darkness. Then he saw the light, it was good. Then he called the light day. He called it a name. And I told you that word is kwa'ara, which means to give it a purpose. So at salvation, purpose came into your life. Salvation, and I hope I had the time, but I couldn't. But I said earlier that salvation opens your eyes to why you were created. In the image of God, Genesis 1:26, let us make mankind. So the entire mankind, whether the fellow is Muslim today, or a Shintoist, or a worship, whatever he is, today, whoever is found in the earth, he's made to function in God's image and after his likeness. So what salvation does, he saves you from yourself to God. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth. He says in verse 27, he created them male and female in his image. In the image created he them, male and female created them, sorry. So he says he created male and female. So it has nothing to do with gender, it has nothing to do with your age, it has nothing to do with where you're born. If you are found in the earth, in humanity, the real reason why you were created is to be in his image and after his likeness. And I said that in the morning, we all have a corporate function. So let us make man in our image. So in our image, after our likeness, is what you are called to do. That's what you are called to do. And I mentioned it in the morning that, you see, we all have the same calling. We all have the same calling. I believe we took some time to see that calling is in the family. Remember that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's not natural family, or else Ishmael will have been in the calling. It's not natural family, or Esau will have been in the calling. It's not natural family, will have been Reuben. The calling is on anyone who will be loyal to God by faith and believe in Him. So whatever God called Abraham for, Isaac was called to do. Whatever I called Isaac for, Jacob was called to do. What I called Jacob for, Joseph was called to do. And eventually when he took them in Egypt, he called everybody together. Remember that? Exodus 4:22. Israel is my son, my firstborn. So it's a corporate calling. It's a corporate calling. So, the calling is the purpose. The calling is the purpose. And I thought we'd trust a bit of the word inheritance. Right? I just gave you a bit of information anyway. Inheritance, we said, is to have a part in God's plan. That's what it is. To have a part in God's plan. And what God called Abraham to do was that inheritance. And that inheritance wasn't piece of property. That was clear, right? You don't need revelation to see a piece of property. Imagine I get to a piece of property, you got an agent says, I want you to buy this place. And I get to the place, so you know, you need revelation to see it. I said, no problem. When I also transfer money to you, you will need revelation to see it. one, go, let's draw. You need revelation too. Because for him to require revelation, for God to consistently be showing Abraham that land by vision, it means it wasn't a piece of property. It's what he's doing in the earth. And when you got born again, and what is doing in the earth is also called his kingdom. When you got born again, John 3:3, except the man is born again, he cannot see what God is doing in the earth. John 3:3. John 3:5, except the man is born of water, and the spirit, he cannot enter into what God is doing in the earth. It's when you are born again that you get to see it. Are you here? You don't get to know who you are by knowing your temperament. That's why I'm choleric. Or chlorine. I'm phlegmatic. I'm sanguine. Or sanguine. I'm mechanic, sorry, melancholy. That is not who you are. You must find yourself in his image after his likeness. So whatever you are called to do is in his image after his likeness. And we said it has to be supernatural. I hope you remember. Hope you remember. Now this does not take away your natural tendencies or proclivities, which means you can have things you want to do in the natural. Moses had ease. Jesus even had ease as a carpenter. The disciples were fishermen. Paul was a tent maker and also an orator. So they had all their natural proclivities, but it wasn't their calling. It wasn't their calling. What you do in the natural only makes sense when you find out his supernatural calling. Then everything has order. You see, if all you had tonight is an engineer, you are in tohu bohu. If all you had tonight is that you are a medical doctor, you are tohu bohu. If all you are tonight is you're a nurse, you're a teacher, you repair cars, you're an orator, if all you are tonight is a daddy or mommy or both, sorry for that, you are in tohu bohu. It only becomes light when you respond to him calling out to you and calling you out of and giving you a purpose to live for. So if all you are tonight is a Ghanaian, a Nigerian, an American, you are totally out of God's will. I didn't say some way, totally. Because let me say this in a very subtle way. Nations, tribes, tongues are human creation. Are you here? That is darkness. Nations, tribe, and tongue is human creation. God will call you out of it, just like called Abraham, to the land. And in that land, there's only one culture. One culture. That is why you speak with tongues. Every other language is coherent, can be interpreted naturally, but tongues. Why is tongues looking stupid? Because it doesn't look like every other language. It's distinct because a race has been born that does not follow the pattern of human speaking. Pure and simple. So it will always sound silly. Now, if I speak my language to you, I'm an Ijebu guy, I'm Yoruba, and I say something to you, Yoruba, your pastor pretends he tries to know the languages, but he's just lying, you know, but he tries to pretend like he knows the languages. And what he did for me last night, I'm going to do it for you one day. And you kept me wondering what you were saying, and you kept saying I couldn't know about the Holy Ghost. God will judge you. Now, but the point is, you know, I couldn't get what you were saying, you know, because now it doesn't mean it was foolish. It just means I needed someone to tell me what it was. Right? And every language is like that. But not tongues. Tongues will have no professor interpreted. Tongues has just the Spirit. By the Spirit. That's why the gift of tongues is the Holy Ghost. The interpretation is also the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you talk about tribe and tongue, they are from darkness. But God doesn't scare, is not scared with darkness. He will use it. But to bring you to an expected end. That expected end is so all of us settle in one family where we have the same calling. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Which means that what he calls us to do as family is the same thing. It's the same. It's the same thing. So it's time to find out what is available in our family. It's not medicine, it's not law, it's not commerce, it's not politics. Are you here? That's not exclusive to our family. No, it's not. It's not soccer, especially Chelsea. It's not anything close to that. Oh, the devil must go. It's none of those things is exclusive to us. What's exclusive to the house? And so tonight I'm going to show you something that may adjust your thinking, but I'm fine with that. So the calling is only found in the body of Christ. You can't find the calling elsewhere. Well, my calling generally is that I like to just take care of people when they don't feel fine. That's NGO. My calling generally is just I like, you know. It takes not the Holy Ghost to do that. No, it doesn't. And so we have a common calling. So what's in the image of God is that common calling. There is a common calling. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you here?
Now let's see just something quickly. Because of time, I won't go into those details, but then I'll do my best. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. So, listen well. In the Old Testament, the Israelites will call you by your purpose. When they discover purpose, then they call the child by purpose. So, Noah is born. Pay very good attention. And I know if you read your Bible well, one of the things about the Bible is that if you read it very well, it interprets itself. Genesis 5:29. Now, notice, there was a man called Enoch. Enoch had Methuselah. And Methuselah lived very long. Enoch didn't live long as such. He called up to the Lord and all that. Methuselah was born, but he named Methuselah. Now, Methuselah, now it's a very strange name. And I've sat down, because I did, and I still do, Biblical languages, and I tried to get the root of the word Methuselah. Now, it's a bit of a mystical name, but eventually the closest to it is, it will happen when he dies. That's the closest to it. Which means that Enoch been a prophet, because who knows a prophet? He speaks, he has a child, then and it's very probable, very clear, because the year Methuselah died was when the flood came. So, it will happen when he dies. So Methuselah's long existence was God's long suffering. So it wasn't just about living and living long. It was God's long suffering. That's what Peter would call it, the long suffering of our God, his salvation. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. So Enoch, a prophet, he names the child Methuselah. When he dies, it'll happen. Now Methuselah had Lamech, who was Enoch's grandchild. Lamech now had a son. Now Lamech knows granddaddy is a prophet. Granddaddy says Methuselah will show a symbol of God's long suffering, of sin and wickedness. Then you have Enoch is born. Now the word Noah, is from the Hebrew word Noah. It actually means resting place. Now if you take that and throw to Genesis 2:1-3, it's similar. God's rest. Or call it rest out of chaos. That's what it is. Now, why did they name him God's rest? Because there's chaos. So he now said, concerning the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. Finish it with me, please. Where did you read this course? Genesis 3. So, listen well. Enoch, just like Methuselah, pay attention, just like Abel, just like Noah, are to bring God's glory into the earth. He will bring comfort concerning the curse. So he's called a name. That name precedes his actions. That calling precedes his actions. Whatever he now decides to do for a living doesn't change the calling. So whatever you are called to do precedes your birth. You need to find out. And you notice again, pay attention to what I'm about to say now. Now, there was no writing then. Assuming there was writing then, that means they found out his purpose both by prophecy and the written word. I'll take that again. Assuming Genesis 3 was documented. It wasn't at that time. They will have found out that God calls him rest because of Genesis 3:16 and 17. Which means I know why I'm called, I know what I'm called to do and why I was born by the written word and by the influence of God's Spirit. So he's called after that name, Noah. In God and names, Abraham is called by his dad, Sarah. And when God now said, you know what? You will no longer be called Abraham,
but Abraham, but Abraham. Why? A father of many nations have I called you. So his calling and his name are similar. So whilst we bear, pay good attention here. Abraham's calling is his office. Correct? Abraham's calling is his ministry, right? So Abraham's name is that his ministry. Come on, talk to me, guys, please. We don't have so much time. It's his ministry, right? So whilst you picked Chris, you picked John. That's what you picked. That's not his name. The name he calls you is your calling and your purpose. So watch this now. Notice that all of us believers have the same name. We're called by God the same name. Sanctified. Redeemed. Delivered. Set free. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Peculiar people. It's a common calling. So, whilst, let me put it like this, a very simple way. You know, oh, this will make sense. You know that when they call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the way it said is, Isaac and Jacob belong to who? So Abraham becomes a surname. Watch this now. In normal family, you can call your son Craig, your daughter Michelle. You can call your son Chris, your daughter call her Susan. But the truth is, they have a surname. That surname binds them. Alright? That surname is a common calling. Whilst you can be John, I'm Chris, you are A, you are B, something binds us together, the Father's calling. And so our call binds us together. You don't have a different surname. You don't have a different calling. We have the common calling. Are you here? Now we have some people who have gone ahead in that surname and that calling to fulfill things that we're called to do as a family. We look at them as examples, not exclusives. So we have a common calling. There is a common calling for all of us. It's sad that we have called apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, callings and not gifts. Operations of Jesus Christ. The calling is common. We are called to the same things. Are you here? So, the body of Christ is where we find what God has called us to do. Let me tell you what body means. Now, I know you know that body of Christ is not, some say, in the body of Christ, I'm the toenail. In the body of Christ, I'm the neck. In the body of Christ, I'm the shoulder. Now, that error came from 1 Corinthians 12. Because they think Paul was talking about believers. Paul was not talking about believers. The conversation in 1 Corinthians 12 was about gifts. He now uses the physical body to say there is one spirit, one body. So in that spirit, you have different gifts. He now uses the parable of the physical body. That you see, this one cannot say, I don't need this one. Watch this. What he's saying is, tongues can say, I don't need interpretation. Prophecy can say, I don't need apostle. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, Brother Wale, he does not need sister. No. That's not what he's referring to. The context are the gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Now, okay, hold on 1 second. The word body means union. 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 Soma in the Greek. And I'll tell you why. Now in Romans 12, 1, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. People assume he's talking about present your toenails, your knee, your... No. That's not what he's saying. He couldn't have been saying present your hair, particularly when you're bald. What he was talking about? Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, our old man was crucified with Christ, and the body of sin was destroyed. Our union with sin. Are you following what I'm saying? Our union with sin. Now, again in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he explains our union. Now, he goes to our union with sin, our union with Christ, then our union with one another, Jews and Gentiles. We are united in one body. Having said all that, you now go to chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, because the church in Rome had this fight between Jews and Gentiles. Present your body, which is your union with Christ and with one another, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Then it says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Now, how would you be conformed to this world? By thinking tribe. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will acknowledge that which is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Then verse 3. Said, I say this among you, that you don't think any more highly than ought to think, but according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then look at verse 4. Read 4 out. Come quickly. Can you see he uses body again? And what members are? What? Go on. I have not the same. So can you see that he doesn't use body for physical body? Our union with Christ. Are you here? Learning something here. So notice what is in the union. Now quickly, this is your car house, I'll just say this quickly. Now, Romans 12:1, it says, present your body a living sacrifice. The word sacrifice there, right, is the word tusiem. It's used for temple sacrifices. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Worship there is stress care, which is temple worship. So, the imagery Paul is using is the temple. That is why he uses gifts. The gifts are found where? In the temple. In the temple Moses built, you bring in the gifts. In the temple God built, he has the gifts. And the gifts are for worship and service. So, when we come into the body of Christ, what's the body of Christ again? Our union with Christ. We find out the gifts for our calling. You are not born with the gifts, but you are born again with the gifts. You are born with talents. But when you are called out of darkness to light, you are called with the gift. Are you here? So, what is in the body of Christ? Romans 12. Let's run through it quickly. Romans 12. It says in 6, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, all supernatural elements. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, quickly, God has set in the body. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I know I'm moving quickly. Amen. Somehow, I think I'm going to need this teaching. Amen. Myself. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a crazy, crazy meeting. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Bad translation. It shouldn't be we. Really. Because that word used for these, they are the body of Christ, members in particular. Look at 28. God has said somewhere. Doctors, lawyers. Comedians? No. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverses of tongues. Are all apostles? Now when it says, are all apostles? It's not talking about people. All teachers? All workers of miracles? All the gifts of healings? All interpret, speak with tongues, all interpret? Covet endlessly what? If he's talking about persons, why is he asking to covet them? Are you here? Where are these gifts again? What is the body of Christ? Our union with Christ. So in our union with Christ, this is what is available. This one is available. Talent is not available here. Amen? Are you here? skill set is not available here. Your desire is not available here. These are his own gifts. Now, Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm learning something tonight. Are you sure? Ephesians chapter 4. Again, in verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, the giving of Christ. Wherefore, Ephesians 4, 8, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captive cattle and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, that is also that descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Let's take 11 together. Let's go. And he gave some. Now the word some is the. Mind the King James. It's not some of. No. It's the. The word there in the Greek is the apostles. It's specifically apostles, specifically prophets, specifically evangelists, specifically pastors and teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let me change a perspective. When it says perfecting of the saints, a whole lot of people read it as maturity of the saints. No. Maturity is the word teleios, T-L-E-L-I-O-S. That's usually the word used for maturity. The word here is katatismos. K-A-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. I tried to correct that over years, but I think somehow, because I used to also read it as maturity. Katatismos is not maturity. Let me now explain it for you. Now, remember I said he gave. He gave it for equipment. For perfecting. Katatismos means to make something fit for function. To make something fit for function. Now, for example, if you have a car and you make a car. Let's use something else. You have a phone and it's an iPhone or whatever phone it is, or China. And then the phone can't make a call. It's a good phone. It has everything, but it can't make a call. So you now take a SIM card and you put the SIM card in the phone so that the phone can start to make calls. What you have done to the phone is to perfect it. You just equipped it for why it was created. So perfecting there is to make it fit for why it was created. Katatismos. Now you have the word katatizo. It also means to mend it. So make it fit. So now read it properly. Now he gave these gifts, verse 12, for the, some version says equipment, right? That's the right word. For the equipping of what? Now, if it was perfecting of the saints, it will mean some people have it. They will make you mature. Now, see the difference now. For the equipping of the saints means it is for all saints. I know you go quiet. It's for all saints for what purpose? For the work of the ministry. Then for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. To build, to strengthen. So these four or five are available to how many? Is it making sense now? I know this will blow to smithereens your past theology. The thing is, oftentimes this has been read out of context. The word katatismos changes the view totally. It's put in the saints to make the saints do the work of the ministry. So in Christ, you are either an apostle, prophet, evangelist, or pastor and teacher. Nurse is not available. Professor is not available. It's not available in Christ. But I think I'm called to take care of the sick. That's not available in Christ. It's fine for humanity, but it's not available in Christ. Maybe I should have this one. Choir is also not available. It's just not available. Good singing is not, you know, if we bring, now, some of our best singers are not Christians. I don't mention their names, but if we bring them here tonight, they will bless you. Some of them sing very well. Alright? Some of the best people that handle tech are not Christians. In fact, oftentimes, we learn from them. Now, let me try to confess your sins for you. Many people you learn how to sing from are not even believers. Say amen. Pastor, I'm very sorry. I just had to say that. So it's not a believer in Christ. But what makes them effective is what Christ gave them. Apostle, evangelist, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. When they discover that, then they begin to do the work of a ministry. And tonight, I don't have all the time, but I'm going to lay hands on you, and you will discover. Because Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift which is in you by the laying on of my hands, or prophecy, and laying on the hands of the presbytery. To know how important it is, 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And I believe God. That could happen tonight. The Lord told me 29 years ago to lay hands on people as a special ministry. And I've been doing it. I don't like to say it all the time, but I have to say it so that I can serve faith in you. That when hands are laid on you, and I have testimonies into numbers of people that say, that was something that happened to me. And I know that you're going to function differently in your church from tonight. Amen. Because the gifts of redemption, the gifts of new creation, the gifts in the image of God, likeness of God, will come to the fore from tonight. And you are not going to use titles because they are useless. You're just going to be functional. And in your city, in your town, where you are, you will see the gifts working. And save yourself the stress of putting a silly title before your name or printing out a complimentary card. Some guys call themselves apostles and they can't breathe more than a kicking scoop. Because I'm now a reverend. I was ordained to the ministry. Next year is going to be 30 years. And I never use the word reverend. Not only is not wrong. Reverend is actually a Bible word. When you hear the word rabbi in scripture, it actually means reverend. They call Jesus reverend. He didn't say, stop it. And you will never share his glory with anybody. He never said that. I'm just saying, it didn't matter to me what the title was. Personally, because I'm a son of Kenneth Hagin, we run away from titles. Apostle, prophet, we don't use social. It's not wrong, but somehow Brother Hagin just makes us very careful. What the reality, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, not the label. It's not in the label. It's in what you do. But I'm telling you from tonight, when you step into places bound by the devil, and you unseat the devil right before his eyes, the gifts are working. When those bound in sin are loose from it, the gifts are working. When your cell groups fills the whole street, the gifts are working. When the gifts of healings begin to work, the gifts are working. That's what we're dealing with. We're not into titles. We're not into labels. We're into the work of the Spirit. Tonight, we believe God. We believe God. For the perfecting of the saints. Yes. The reality is here. The work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. If you miss any of the sessions, let me advise you. If you miss the sessions in the morning, get it. Because if I lay hands on you, you don't get that information, you know what's going on. But as you listen, next 1 week, after hands are laid on you, take a fast. Pray a lot. I know you were a prostitute, but you are no longer one. I know you were into crime, but you are no longer one. I know your life was unstable. You used to be gay. You are no longer one. Purpose has found you. what your heart was craving for wasn't sex. It wasn't money. No, it wasn't money. It wasn't money. It wasn't sex. I know you did voodoo just last year, but the spell is broken. You will find fulfillment in the supernatural hand of God upon your life. I know you also were in a cult, a secret society. The spell is broken because you found purpose now. What you're looking for is a counterfeit. You have the original with you. When hands are laid on you, purpose is set forth. You will go back to the places where you used to go with shame. You will go with the name. My hands will come on you, but it's not my hands. The Lord's hand will rest on you. Tonight, when hands are laid on what? You know, laying on hands is so critical. Last week I had hands laid on me. I go to Win the Bible Seminar, Brother Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I ensure that every year they lay hands on me. Because in my life, there's nothing I've discovered God called me to do that didn't come by laying on of hands. Amen. So as you pray, the hand of God is on your life.